This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We bring in super friend of the show. She is from cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. She is Mary Kay Cabot. Hello, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
Mary Kay, any chance Huntington Bank Field becomes Huntington Bank football playing surface? Now that we have Rocket Arena instead of Rocket Mortgage Field. Awesome.
I doubt it. I don't think that's happening anytime soon.
I think we're averaging a name change for our venues once a year on every venue. What do you think?
I don't think that's accurate.
Well, now we're 2 for 2, right? The ballpark.
Follow the money.
That's right. Follow the money.
There it is, Mary Kay. 100%. There it is. So, I like your story that you posted just a little while ago. Cam Ward vows to make teams who pass on him pay. We got another guy with a grudge already, Mary Kay. What's going on
here?
Good
job.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Cam Ward is that no one's really heard from him yet in this pre-draft process. We've heard plenty of things from Shedeur Sanders because he was at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And he was at the Super Bowl. And we've heard plenty of things from his dad, Dion. What we haven't heard much from is Cam Ward. And he did not go to the Shrine Bowl. He did not go to the Senior Bowl. He did not go to the Super Bowl. He was not running around Radio Row giving interviews and doing videos and all those kinds of things. So we haven't heard from Cam at all yet. And therefore, I think sometimes it almost feels like Shedeur has had all the momentum and is getting all the run. Well, that's probably about to change because now Cam has spoken up. And next week, we are all heading to the NFL Combine, where he will be interviewed all over national media, but all of us will be standing in front of him at a podium as well and interviewing him. So now it's time for Cam to sort of step up and take center stage. And I think he showed us in this interview last night that he means business.
Does it matter if he throws at the combine or not?
No, I don't think it does matter if he throws at the combine. I know teams really appreciate it and would love it if he did, but I don't think it's going to matter in the grand scheme of things because he will throw at his pro day at Miami and he will throw at private workouts. Not on those top 30 visits because they're not allowed to do that when they come into town. But when teams go out for a private visit, they're allowed to do that there. So he'll do plenty of throwing over the next couple of months, maybe not at the combine.
Your thought has been that they take a quarterback at 2. You still feeling that way as you get ready to go to the combine next week?
I am still feeling that way. I just don't see it any other way. I think you have to take a chance on one of these quarterbacks if you think that they can win. And I'm going by what I asked Andrew Berry at the Senior Bowl a couple of weeks ago, or now I guess 3-4 weeks ago, when I asked him, do you see a quarterback in this draft that can win? Do you see some winning quarterbacks in this draft? And he said, yes. Well, if there are those there and not just one, and you have a chance at them, then you have to take that chance. You have to write your ticket there and give it a shot. I don't think that you can go for a non-organization changing player at that position at number two. You don't hope to be picking that high anytime soon again. So I would take the shot and build around the quarterback and see how it goes.
And do you believe said quarterback will be married with a veteran free agent a la Kirk Cousins?
Yes, I do think that a veteran free agent will come in here, or a trade, or someone. I don't know if it will end up being Kirk Cousins or someone else, but there's no doubt in my mind that there will be some kind of a bridge quarterback coming in here. I think they'll probably sign or acquire two veteran quarterbacks to go along with Shador or Cam. I think that could come from the pool of Kirk Cousins. You know, there are a number of quarterbacks in that category. I think what you have to be a little careful of is acquiring a veteran quarterback who really fancies himself as a starter who can take the team the distance. I don't think that's really going to serve you well if you are drafting a quarterback at number two who you know is going to start this season. So in my mind, that sort of eliminates the Aaron Rodgers. I don't know where that puts Kirk Cousins, because I know he feels like he can still start and win for a team in the NFL. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit tricky when you look at who you want to acquire as your veteran bridge.
There were little things floating around last week about Aaron Rodgers. I cannot see Aaron Rodgers in a Browns uniform. Could you?
Well, probably not, just because of what I just mentioned.
Yes.
The fact that if he's going to come back and play more football, he's not going to come back to mentor a rookie. I don't think he's at that point yet. I think in his second season out of Achilles surgery, I think he'll probably feel like he can play better football in 2025, and that if he's going to put himself out there and continue to play, it's not going to be to ride the bench.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. Miles Garrett made an awful lot of appearances during Super Bowl week. He was everywhere he wanted to be, and the more Miles spoke, the more it just seemed like everybody nationally assumed, well, he's going to be playing somewhere else next year. What's his new destination? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I do think that everyone jumped to the conclusion that the Browns were going to readily just acquiesce and trade him, and I just don't think that's the case. I think the Browns are going to exercise patience, let this play out some. I think we are obviously going to hear from Andrew Berry at the Combine when we get there next week, and he'll have more to say about this then. But I'm guessing he's probably going to say the same thing that he said to a few of us at the Senior Bowl, and the stance that the Browns have stood by since then, and that is that they're not trading him, not even if someone offers them two first-round picks. Now, I've seen things change. You can say something like that in 1 month, and 2 months later, you change your mind for some reason, for unforeseen circumstances. But I do believe at this point in time, they don't have any intentions of trading him, and I think they're going to hang on to that point for as long as they can.
Mary Kay, I think we're all assuming that next year is a must-win year for Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. But I mentioned in our last segment, with Miles and all of this, I wonder what marching orders the Haslams have given to their front office. You know, like, we need to win this year. Or we understand that our roster needs some work. This is a building year. What do you think the Haslams have told the guys who are running the football team? And what do you think they have to do next year?
Well, I think that the answer is sort of somewhere in the middle. I think the marching orders are, and I don't even think they need marching orders. This is what Andrew and Kevin are going to want too, to go out in 2025 and to win as many games as they possibly can with their new quarterback, with their new pieces that they add to the team, with the core players that they still have on the team, and try to get back to winning as much winning as they can as soon as possible, while also restocking, retooling, and rebuilding a little bit for the future. But retooling and restocking doesn't mean that you're not trying to win as many games as you possibly can. And if you just stop turning the ball over and you get a running game and good, decent quarterback play, you're already going to be at 7 or 8 victories. So I just don't think that you have to go out there, and there's no such thing in my mind in today's NFL of tanking and rebuilding and tearing it all down. There's just no need to do that with all of the avenues that you have to keep a team competitive. The Steelers have never had a losing season in 18 years under Mike Tomlin. I think that should say a lot.
Mary Kay, you said you're off to the combine here in a little bit. I'm just curious, like, total fan question here. Just what do teams actually learn at the combine? And can anything be said for a player that doesn't want to do something, or, you know, I think you're right about the, if you're going to work out in an individual session, why should you have to throw three times? Like, the team's probably going to bring you in anyway if you're a high draft pick. So what do teams actually learn, and what's the biggest benefit teams have from the combine? Is it just figuring out guys maybe later in the draft, or bubble guys between free agents and sixth, seventh rounders? What do they learn?
Well, one of the biggest things that they learn at the combine is the, you know, the culture fit and the personality of the player through the interviews. So those interviews that go until like 11 o'clock every night at the combine are vitally, vitally important. That is where you really start to get to know a player, or continue to get to know a player, perhaps maybe before he comes in for your top 30 visit. So you've got several points at which you get to talk to these guys. Senior Bowl is one of them, East-West Shrine Game. You know, then you've got the combine, and then you've got your top 30 visits. So these are tremendous opportunities to sit face-to-face with the player and really dig in there and get your, you know, team psychologist in there and coaches and personnel people, and try to get into the mind, heart, and soul of a player, especially a quarterback. I mean, if it's going to be the player that is going to lead this team for the next how many ever years, you need to know what you're getting. So I think that's one of the biggest things you'll get out of it.
How active will this team be in free agency, Mary Kay?
I think they'll be somewhat active. I think they need to add maybe 3 or 4 key pieces in free agency, and then there will always be those 3 or 4 other sort of second or third tier players that you will acquire to bolster certain positions. But I think they can get 3 or 4 key pieces. I don't think they are necessarily going to go out and pursue the top 3 players in this free agency period because of the money situation that they're in right now. But I do think that they will find opportunities to fortify a position and bring in a couple of starters that will really help them.
I don't want to make this a weekly question. I'm still just wondering about Nick Chubb and how they're going to probably approach the draft with a running back, because there's plenty of good running backs out there, I think, in coming out of college. So just your thoughts on Nick and the running back position.
Well, there are 2 positions at which I would draft 2 players. Now, they've got their 9 original picks, and they will have also, I think, as many as 3 compensatory picks. So with those 12 picks, I would actually be drafting 2 quarterbacks. I would take one at number 2, and then I would take another one somewhere, wherever it seems to make sense. If you see one that got left behind by someone in the 3rd round or the 4th round, I would snatch them up there, develop them, and if nothing else, then you have some trade bait or a good quarterback in the pipeline, maybe your future backup or something like that. So I would draft 2 quarterbacks, and I would draft 2 running backs. I would go for one sort of fast, shifty, multi-purpose, someone along the lines of a Jerome Ford, but someone else kind of like him that you can pair with him, but also more of the big bruising back that can get you those tough yards on the goal line and in short yardages and things like that. So I would be reshaping the running back room, and I would definitely be going for 2.
Mary Kay, as always, we enjoy our conversation with you. Have a great week, and we look forward to talking a little bit more as we get closer to the combine. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully we get some answers when the team goes there as well. Thank you, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thank you, guys.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. A lot of things I still want to talk about throughout the show today. Mary Kay Cabot was with us in the last segment. If you missed any of the interview, it is available on the Odyssey app, and we appreciate everybody who's listening on the Odyssey app, especially when you live stream us. Sam Amico is going to join us a little bit later in the show. We're also going to We're going to talk a little hockey today, aren't we? I'm very excited about that. We
might do
that.
I knew you would.
Next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about this.
We held off so that you could talk about it today.
Oh, you guys didn't talk about it at all yesterday?
Not really.
Wow.
We just thought, well, it's, you know, this is Andy's deal.
No, it's not Andy's deal. It's our deal. What's the show? We're a big family.
It's a big philosophy thing, but you're at the center of it.
Oh, it has to do with fighting, doesn't it? I'm sure it does.
It has to do with hockey.
No, I'm sure it has to do with your... But you want to go straight for the fighting thing. We'll do that in a minute here. Mary Kay Cabot put out the notion of the Browns perhaps drafting two quarterbacks, two running backs. They definitely have the picks to do it.
Nine
would
picks.
Would you be opposed? So what would the quarterback room look like next year, right? There'd be like two young quarterbacks that they would draft this year, a free agent quarterback that they would bring in, probably a high-paid free agent quarterback that could guide these guys and start the beginning of the season. Man, it feels like 1999 all over again. But and then Deshaun would like have an annex probably, right? There'd be the quarterback room and there'd be the quarterback annex.
They're not going to allow him in.
Yeah, he's allowed in, but he can have his own like annex. He can have another room.
It'll be a rehab, the young guys.
Rehab room. That's what it'll be.
We want to teach the young guys to stay in the pocket. You're not allowed to talk to them.
What did we learn?
I thought Mary Kay's thought about the two quarterbacks drafting two is interesting. I'm not completely sold on that idea. I do think they'll draft a quarterback at some point. I don't mind the idea of sign a veteran and sign a young veteran and draft a guy. That one actually appeals to me. I've mentioned the names of the guys that were once highly thought of who are now getting kicked to the curb throughout the NFL. I wouldn't mind bringing in one of those guys along with the veterans who have been around and then draft a guy. And I would think you're going to draft a quarterback either with your first or second round pick. Wouldn't you think? I mean, I can't imagine them not taking a quarterback either with the second pick or the 33rd pick. Or trading up from 33 and getting back into the first round to draft somebody who's dropped, Jackson Dart.
I buy that more than I would buy drafting a quarterback at 33.
Would you?
Yeah.
Because the longer this goes, even though everybody says these quarterbacks, blah, 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 we all know how it goes. You know, I mean, if you could invest in a quarterback as a stock, you'd make a lot of money. They all seem to go up the closer you get to the draft. I'll bet you Jackson Dart doesn't last until the second round. And if for some reason they like him,
that's
almost...
That's why you'd have to go back up. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that.
If they like him almost as much as Ward or Sanders, who everybody assumes are the two guys that everybody wants on the top of the draft. And I do think that's an assumption, don't you? Everybody is saying it's Ward and it's Sanders. But, you know, maybe some team thinks it's Milrow. Some team thinks it's Dart. And, you know, if that team can get their guy at 20 by trading up or whatever.
There's only one quarterback that scares me as your second quarterback pick on the Browns. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, it's Jalen Milroe.
No.
Oh, it's Shadur?
No, it's not a scare thing.
Shadur?
No, it's Will Howard. And I'll explain why.
Wait a minute. Is a second round pick?
As a second quarterback pick.
Oh, because he's going to come in and be Kirk Cousins reincarnated in Washington?
Well, no. What I do think is that if you decide you want to draft a quarterback at two, which Mary Kay seems very adamant about, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. And she has for some time.
Let's just say they go and they draft someone at two.
Mm-hmm.
Sanders. Yeah, let's say they pick Sanders. It's hypothetical. Then they pick Will Howard third, fourth round, right? If things go even a little bit sideways for Sanders, right? If they go just a little bit sideways for him, that they'll be like, well, I want to see what Will Howard looks like. I watched him in college. I know what he can do here because, let's face it, everyone's an Ohio State expert here. So that, like, they would want to see him early. And based on the fact that the Browns didn't bring Joe Flacco back last year because they were worried about, you know, the pressure between Flacco and Watson to start the season, that's why I could see them avoiding Will Howard later, even if he was available as that second quarterback pick if they decided to take two in the draft. If you're worried about the – and you shouldn't be. You should be drafting the best football players ever. But I just don't think teams think that way sometimes. And I think they look bigger picture, and they're worried about they should never worry about it because this is how you become a fan yourself, but you're worried about the way it looks and you're worried about having unnecessary pressure on a quarterback when you know you need to develop them. Look, no matter who they take it to, they're going to take, if they take a quarterback, they're going to need at least a little bit of time to get used to being in the NFL. And I think teams that don't respect that find themselves with a young quarterback that struggles a lot early on. There's just no, there's no reason to have to do that, if, especially if you're going to bring in a veteran free agent quarterback. So that's why that Will Howard theory kind of is like, if you're going to take Will Howard, I don't know if, you know, where you would do, where you take him makes a difference.
Did you, are you warming up to the idea of Shedeur Sanders? Because you were
again,
ballistic about Deion and drama and circus and all that stuff.
It seems like that's gone, and
he's coming off reason really
to,
well, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I have reason to believe that he, that if he is in the position, I'm sure, I mean, I'd love to see him have the job. If they want to draft him at two, it's not about me, it's about them. And it goes back to, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, if they love Shedeur Sanders at two, then take him. Make him the quarterback and give him every opportunity and be prepared to have the good and the bad. And the bad is true for every quarterback that ever enters this league. Nothing is easy. You got to earn it, right?
There it
we
goes.
Talked about
there
that. You
goes.
Knew that was coming.
There it goes.
So as long as we have patience and don't sit around after two games and go, I can't believe they picked Shedeur Sanders. What a stupid pick. We took him because of his last name. And, you know, I know he played in Colorado, but Colorado's not the Big Ten, and it's not the SEC, and blah, 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 whatever, right?
Maybe they picked him because he likes the Browns.
That'd be great. If he likes the Browns and wants to be all in, and he loves the Browns as much as the Browns love him, fair enough. Let's go for it. Let's make it happen.
Did you see a little video that was posted social media-wise over the weekend?
I did not. Tell me about this video.
Shedeur Sanders. It's some video from somebody's living room. It looks like, it almost looks like he's on the set of Love Connection, if you think back in the day. I don't know why. It just, it's this white couch. And anyhow, he was talking with somebody sitting there about playing Madden, you know, the video game, right? And who he likes to play Madden as.
He was talking with Deion Jr., his brother.
That's his brother?
That's his brother.
Okay.
And it was,
I've seen no identifying of who his brother is.
And this is audio courtesy of Well Off Media.
Who do you play with?
I don't even play Madden. I can play Madden.
You know who I play with.
I can play with anybody, though. He can only play with one team.
What team?
Brown.
Okay.
Okay.
I like how they're getting ready.
I like how they move around, bro.
That's the only team he can play with. Anybody ready. Else? It's trash.
I like how they move around on there. I like the setup.
He likes how the Browns move around on Madden.
Is that a reflection on Kevin?
Or is it a reflection on software engineers?
I think that's a reflection on Electronic Arts.
Well, I mean, if EA is using analytics,
is it on Andrew Berry,
right?
Or is it on a software engineer sitting in some room somewhere?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, if
who's a Browns fan? It makes them better than...
If you need to get in the game, aren't you going to do your calculations and trends based on analytics? That would tell you that would be the same as...
Like William Byron, the Daytona 500 winner, learning how to drive on computer. He's learning how to run the Browns offense on Madden.
Wouldn't be the first, right?
Does that mean anything, what he just said? Or is he just playing a video game?
Sounds to me like he did more studying than Johnny Manziel did already on the Browns. At least he knows the Madden playbook. Yeah, we'll get it fixed.
We'll get it fixed.
We'll get it fixed.
I think I say that to my wife at least twice a week.
We'll get it fixed.
We don't have any hot water in the kitchen?
We'll get it fixed.
Yeah. Cabinets are falling apart? Not
anymore.
We'll
get it fixed.
Not since I've started talking to Choice Cabinets.
Our fridge wasn't cooling the other day.
Oh, no.
Really? Who needs a fridge right now? Just put stuff on your back. Just put it outside the back door. We are living in a freezer right now.
Apparently, somebody hit the temperature button. It's now working just fine.
Oh, good.
Yay.
Okay, I was going to watch it for a little bit. I was like,
thank you. Thank you very much.
Is that person named Jeff or no?
No.
Oh. Ratting out the rest of the family, are we?
Was it one of these moments where you looked in turned the temperature knob, yelled out, "Honey, I fixed it," followed by this.
Oh, it was that scary moment. I said, "You know, everything in the fridge is not really cold." To which my wife responded, "Well, it is fifth." And she was getting ready to tell me how old it was. And I said, "Stop! Stop! Let's check the temperature and see if it's just needs adjusted." And it did.
Hey, if you are running low on ice, I've got plenty of it. I walked all over it on the way here 2 days after everyone else got rid of ice.
For advice on fixing things such as this, get your questions in for Ask It Basket and Phelps Helps. Just use that voice messaging system right on the Odyssey app and send those questions right in, and we'll teach you how to fix all sorts of things.
Like my catalytic converter on another car.
Wait, what? You fix your catalytic converter?
Yes!
How? By the way, this has nothing to do with the Browns drafting two quarterbacks.
A little internet research.
What was wrong with your catalytic converter?
It's a story for another day.
Are you serious?
Somebody's going to have to ascend into Askin Baskin.
Did this require any
Phelps
tools?
Helps.
Did this require any tools?
Are you kidding? None.
Oh, nothing? Wow. You're like a magic man.
It's funny you're playing that song.
Is this what you played when the catalytic converter started working?
As he walked away, the car started.
Slowly.
And he put his arms up in the air and he said, ah.
A British product. A British product.
Yeah.
Has at least temporarily fixed my catalytic converter issue.
We'll get it fixed.
We'll get it fixed. Is that close?
No, that wasn't.
Chip chips?
No,
it
sounded like McCartney singing on the SNL thing.
Whoa, I didn't hear it. Was it bad?
'80s.
So I'm really bummed out. I have not seen the entire show yet. I've seen bits and pieces.
McCartney was still good. Paul can't hit the high notes like he used to.
Oh, why don't you go help him out?
I never could hit the high notes. It's still McCartney. There's your Super Bowl every year. Just roll them out. Let's go.
Jeffrey, have you become a hockey fan? I know a lot of people that have become hockey fans this week. It's about the pride of wearing that jersey that says USA on the front of
either
it.
Either that or UFC.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding
going
me?
Going MMA.
So you're ripping the game?
I didn't rip the game at all.
What are you trying to say?
I'll tell you next.
All right, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, can I ask the question?
Yes.
Have you watched any of the Four Nations Cup?
No.
None. Zero. Zilch. Will you watch the championship game on Thursday night, which is on national TV?
No.
Really?
I think I'm going out to dinner with my kid.
You won't watch any of this?
I might watch it if I'm home.
How can I convince you to watch this? I mean, I respect the fact
that
you want to spend time
home,
with your kid.
If I'm home on Thursday night, I'm probably watching NBA.
Even this, Jeff, the whole world's in on this. Can't
That's
you feel
great.
A little peer pressure?
That's great.
You don't feel any peer pressure?
No.
I'm disappointed in you.
I can tell you the other day when I'm sitting on the couch, and it turned into a big viewing night on Sunday.
Okay.
Because you had SNL 50.
Right.
You had the Daytona 500 getting pushed into primetime.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
And you had the NBA All-Star game.
Yeah.
Yet, my buddy Dave sent me a text, and it was OMG, watch Canada against USA right now, hockey, 15 seconds, 3 fights, just start.
And that turned you off?
No, I just responded to him, tariffs.
Wow. I'm so disappointed.
The Canadians were fighting for tariffs.
I feel like
against
the center.
The tariffs.
I feel like a center right now, and I feel like I have a left wing over here in Dan Menigan, and I have a right wing over here as well in Meredith Kane. Are you my right wing? Are you?
I heard it was phenomenal.
You can just call me Alex Ovechkin, baby.
There you go. Okay.
There were other things that I was watching.
Is this the hockey version of you looking at me and going, are you my pal, Danny?
No. I feel like a center, and I feel like I have a right wing and a left wing as we try to collapse in on the defense and try to make him cave in to want to watch this championship game. So I was interested because when you said to me on the conference call this morning, and by the way, I was in Erie over the weekend, and they had like NBA Saturday Night on
Home of the Wonders.
Yeah, and then they had what else did they have on? Oh, and then they had obviously the Four Nations Cup on, and like place was going crazy.
Yeah,
there, and you know it was just a lot of fun.
I heard it was phenomenal. There were three other things on that I had more interest in watching. Nothing against hockey.
I'm devastated.
It was an exhibition game.
I'm devastated by
right?
that.
But
Jeff
Shadell.
Jeff Shadell and I were texting back and
heard
forth
it was
throughout
great.
The whole game. I
you
enjoyed
know what
my
I wonder,
conversation
though?
With him.
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Ding! Why in the world is hockey condoning fighting? I know it's not what it used to be.
So
listen, Andy, I think when hockey is played well, and it is played very well at
right.
the NHL level,
right.
it's a beautiful sport. I mean, think about what these guys do on skates. Okay, it's not like they're NBA guys running up and down the floor and they have a big ball.
Right.
It's not like football guys on grass. It's not like baseball guys on grass. These dudes have this little round, little flat round puck.
Yeah.
And a stick,
yep.
And they're skating around on ice skates.
Yeah.
And when it's played, it's a beautiful game. Why do they even tolerate the fighting?
Because it's part of the game. It's part
why
of the culture
it part
of the game.
Of the game?
Because it regulates, like, it makes the game a very, very dangerous game. And I know
this
sounds weird.
It's already dangerous.
Less dangerous when you have the fighting. I hate to say that.
They're wearing knives on their shoes, and they're flying up and down ice.
I agree. Like, you know that
it's dangerous.
I agree with you on part of what you said, that it is an amazing game without the fighting itself. And if you watched any of the Four Nations Cup, you will see the precision passing, the shooting.
I heard it was
phenomenal.
The skating,
the way these guys
if
go down the ice.
If the other things hadn't been on, I would have turned and watched.
Like, I'm watching plays that, like, you just, some plays you won't even see during the regular NHL season, because you've got four teams of all-stars out there, and they're all battling, and every interview, if you listen to last night's game and the loss to Sweden, it's not about money. I think that's another part of the reason that this Four Nations Cup, those guys get a bonus for being in there. And like I've dug deep into the internet, and you know I like that's what I do. So, but I'm still trying to find an actual number that goes along with these guys playing what they're getting paid.
Wouldn't this be like, and in game one, what game one, USA Canada, the puck dropped game two, and.
Yeah. Yeah, they waited for the game to start.
Then they immediately threw down their gloves and started fighting.
Yeah, they wanted to set the tone for the game.
It would be like the kickoff of an NFL playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the ball is kicked, the guys throw off their helmets and start throwing down.
No, you're not throwing off your helmets, though. That's just...
Well, you throw off your gloves.
Yeah, but there's a
difference
here. In
hockey, they threw off their helmets, didn't they?
No, they fight with helmets on. That's why it's crazy. I see these guys throwing punches and they're landing on my helmets and I'm like, oh.
So, but if you did that in the NFL,
it's not. You can't compare the NFL to it though. You can't.
If you did it in Major League Baseball,
Major League Baseball,
if after the opening tip, Jared Allen clocks Obi Toppin,
okay,
what's going to happen to them? They're getting suspended and thrown out.
Yeah,
like they're getting a long suspension.
I'll be honest with you, a fight in pro hockey, I like. It drives me nuts when I see young kids fight.
It's just amazing that it's somewhat condoned.
It drives me nuts when I see kids that just aren't there, and it isn't like they don't even understand the game yet, but then they feel like the game is all about fighting. Like, that drives me nuts. But when you look at it at the highest level and you're looking at it at the NHL, and you know, sometimes it just keeps it keeps the game safer.
To
by
fight?
Having two guys fight, yes.
It keeps the game
because
safer
otherwise
to throw down and fight.
Jeff, what's more dangerous? Two guys that are actually going to throw punches at each other where they can see it coming, or some idiot taking 15 strides and ramming someone in the back up against the boards? And that's while the players regulate the game. And then the other thing is that the nature of the game itself, 5 minutes for fighting, right? You've heard that a million times, that you know that it's a part of the game.
Well,
fighting is a part of the game, but it's regulated.
That's my point.
Yeah.
They regulate it.
Yeah.
Why would you even do that? Just throw guys out. My buddy Jeff just sent me a text.
Well, you're going to get a fine.
Ask Andy. You ever see Gretzky fight during a game?
Didn't need to. He had Stamenko. Well, he didn't need him. He had an enforcer with
him. Then if it's part of the game, why didn't Gretzky do it?
Because Gretzky didn't need to fight. Why would you have Gretzky fight? That's insane.
Why would you have anybody fight?
You would have somebody protect him because someone would want to go after a team's best player to make sure that he can't score. And it all means they would do it. So you would have someone protect that guy.
Ask one of the Thompson twins about Jared Allen setting that hard foul.
That's basketball. And by the way, basketball used to be pretty similar in their own way. The players police their own games back when playoff games. Well, that's a hard foul. No, that's a playoff foul.
And
you can get away with that during the playoffs. Jeff, I hate fighting in hockey.
I love the
game. I can't stand it, but I understand why it's there at certain levels.
I think it's ridiculous because it's a beautiful game.
It is a beautiful game. And guess what? That USA Canada game the other night, the championship or the game that'll lead to the championship coming up on Thursday. It's going to be a beautiful game, too.
Like international hockey in the Olympics?
The international game has changed the game itself. Bigger ice does not lend to more fighting. It doesn't.
I love watching like Olympic hockey, I think, because the game is played beautifully and there's almost no fighting.
Yeah, because you don't want to get tossed for the whole tournament. These guys know what they're doing. They know that they're going to wait for that puck to drop so that they can get 5 minutes rather than get tossed for the whole game. You don't want to get tossed for the whole game.
It
was just this unbelievable, like, I think people were mad because the Canadians were booing the anthem, or at least people think that's what it was about. The players came back and said that had nothing to do with it. I mean, you know, when you look at it...
It's all about tariffs.
There's an entertainment value to it, too, especially in minor league hockey, right?
I just got a look from Dan.
I know.
It was beautiful.
I know. I mean, do I like it? No, but was it, like... For the first time in a long time, I watched the game, and I watched the first 9 seconds of the game, and I'm like, oh, my God, one of the Kachucks just got thrown out. Oh, my God, his brother just got thrown out of the game. 9 seconds, because they were laying down the law to say this was going to be a physical game, and the tougher team was going to win when it was all said and done. And now we'll see in Boston on Thursday night who's going to – and by the way
– couldn't you go out and just do that by playing hockey?
No, because you're going – because part of the game is checking. The game is physical.
But that's part of the game. Part of the game shouldn't be, oh, they dropped the puck. Gloves off. Let's go, baby. That's called MMA. That's called boxing.
It's not MMA.
That's called UFC.
So, okay, but people pay for that, and they understand they're going
to
see a fight.
And they go to that.
And they also understand that when they see NHL hockey or they see minor league hockey, that they're part of it is going to be fighting too. Why? Because we know this, because it's regulated within the game.
I want to see Darius Garland throwing down with Chris Paul.
I'd pay for that.
I want to see that. Let's go.
Bring on
the Spurs. Let's throw down right now.
What happens if Darius throws down?
Let's throw down Darius. Go take him out.
How about your man Kendrick Perkins?
Rich Paul's going to step in because,
you know. So you hated Kendrick Perkins then, right? Because when he came in, he was an enforcer by the time he came back here.
I never saw Kendrick Perkins throw off his sneakers and start shadow boxing, kickboxing somebody on the floor.
You are living.
I saw him setting hard picks. I never saw him throw a punch. And I...
Did they put him out there to be an enforcer? Was he on the floor to be an enforcer?
There's no difference between
that and hockey. None.
You're talking about two different things. You're talking about being an enforcer.
Yes.
I'm talking about throwing off your gloves and beating the living crap out of another guy in a boxing match before the game ever starts. I've never seen a boxing match.
Yes.
In the NBA.
You've never seen a fight in the NBA?
I didn't say that.
What's the difference?
Because in hockey, they throw down and everybody stands around and they spin around in circles and start punching like crazy. The minute people start punching like crazy in the NBA, everybody else steps in, they pull them apart, and they get suspended for numerous games.
Yeah, and so these guys get suspended too.
Hey guys,
go
sit down for 5 minutes.
I mean, it depends how bad it
is.
Come
on back. How's your nose?
Jeff, you can't take 5 strides and knock a guy into the stands at, you know, I don't know how fast you can go. 40, 50 miles an hour on skates, right? I don't know how fast. Maybe I'm
making flashing back to the heights days, Andy.
Yeah, what I'm saying to you is that because of the physical nature of the game of hockey, it's not the same as the physical game in the NBA. And the
aspect of the game. It's the flat out fighting. It's not the physical nature of the game.
But it set the tone for one of the best games I've ever seen.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
They don't need to set a tone. Go out and play.
But this is part of the play.
I don't.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be regulated.
But that's the problem. It's part of the play.
It's not a problem.
That's part of the problem.
The problem is you. You didn't watch any of it, and you don't get any of it. I'm just telling you. If you would have watched the game, you would have been like, what?
Let's fight.
What does my right winger think of this? Oh, you know what? Hang on. Let's do this.
Let's fight.
Can I get a little response on this? Can I just spend a couple more minutes on this? I need my right wing and my left wing to chime in and see. I'm not crazy. I'm not. I hate fighting in the game. I absolutely
Nothing
don't
wrong
like
with
it at
being
all.
Physical. That's part of hockey.
Let's not
play hockey. Let's beat the living snot out of each other.
If you're on the line, hang on the line. 216-474-0092. Baskin Phelps 92.3 The Fan.